It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than a Titanic tragedy. Better than that. You could join the chat room, DenPen. Go to davincomedy.com, click live broadcast. Also, you can watch us on Facebook Live on the Davin's Den page. Audio is better on Davin Comedy, but I think I've got the audio. All right, on the Facebook page, I am joined by Pip Helix. Hello, Pip.
Hi, everybody.
For those that are listening live, our apologies for being tardy. Our apologies for being tardy. For those that are listening on a podcast, you don't know what the hell you missed. We don't know what the hell we did. But no, we had some, it was Technical Issue Tuesday. It was,
Tech Tuesday.
It was Pip's predictable, issues, because I had told Pip a week ago, hey, get this checked out. It's like, nah, it's fine. And then right before the show, it wasn't fine. So we will be sending Pip to a phone dealer to try to get this solved. So we don't, once we finally got Joe's phone issue solved after 3 years, and some contentious moments. But Joe sounds lovely now. When he's on the show. And then Pip's like, oh, but what can be a show without audio problems? Let me be a shitstorm. So Pip's been a problem the past few weeks. And
it's so enjoyable, let me tell you.
And, you know, told her, get this taken care of. Nah, just need to charge. No. So then we get that resolved, which is really the bulk of why we were tardy. And then Zoom was having issues. It's like, I don't have permission to stream live. I don't have permission to stream my show on my Facebook page with my Zoom account? Then who does? Who does? Who is my overlord? who do I get this permission from?
Well, maybe we've said too many things about too many social media overlords.
It's possible. And tonight we'll say more things about more social media overlords. Wow, I gotta turn you guys up.
Wow.
No, because you're lower than you usually are because of the tech issues.
Well, I'm doing it slightly differently, too.
That's why.
On my phone speakerphone, yeah.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, this, when we come back in a few weeks, nay. You will either have the quality that you had before, which was fine quality, to be fair, or your ass will be here every Tuesday. Those will be your options. So let's.
Yeah, yeah.
Well.
Package my ass and send it to you, because the rest of me can't do it every week.
I used to do it every week, and, you know, I live closer to you now, so there you go.
No, you don't.
It's about the same.
You live over hill and dale.
Go a different way. It's probably the same.
No, it's not.
No.
It's really not.
Either way, get your ass here or get it fixed, girl. All right. Joe will be here soon. Yeah, our tardiness has given Joe more time to get here. On the show, School of Fools, Wisconsin first grade bans a rainbow song. And not for the reasons you would think why anybody would ban a rainbow song or why rainbows are controversial. Scam busters and a fake psychic took millions in real money. Every psychic at a carnival was like, do tell, how did you manage to pull this off? But yeah, lots of money on a scam that was going on for a long time. And the government is watching retired military social media to see what you're doing, spying on you through them. So maybe watch what you say, spying on you. And since we hadn't talked about it, and we weren't going to talk about it, but then when I saw Joe and Pip here this weekend, they said they didn't want to talk about it, and then they couldn't shut the hell up about it. Oh, we're going to talk about the submersible sub. That is exactly how it went down, by the way.
It is exactly. It was like, no, what, there's nothing else to say. And then we started riffing on it, and it's like, oh, yeah, I guess we do have a lot to say.
Yeah, so you guys better fill a segment with it, because you guys couldn't shut the hell up about it.
Because we're assholes.
No, I mean, everybody's had something to say about it. Why not us?
And I know.
And we'll do some scamming scammers. We will do that with Jelena. First, I must give a wholehearted thank you to our own Pip Helix. I must thank Pip, not for what the hell she did today. That gets her in the barrel with a kick in the ass. But on Saturday. So I was producing my first show at a new venue, and the food, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Hudson's Mill Tavern in Garnerville, New York. I mean, the food was just tremendous. Joe says it's one of the best burgers he's ever had. And if you've ever seen Joe, you're probably asking, wait, you actually taste burgers when you inhale them? But he's had a lot of burgers in his time. Joe says one of the best burgers he ever had. I had whiffles. I had chicken and waffles, maybe for the first time. I don't know. But it was really, really good. And what'd you have, Pip?
I had brisket on a, what is it? It was like a garlic flavored roll and American cheese, and they had a sauce to dip it in, and I had a side salad. Oh my God. Amazing food. And there were lots of things to choose from too. It was really tough, but yeah, I think I chose the right thing.
Well, from what I could gather, everybody who ordered whatever the hell they ordered thought they chose the right thing. So it's a shame the place is about an hour away from me, because I'll tell you what, if it was within 20 minutes, it would probably be my go-to. Now, you have to say that because, you know, they're one of your clients. Honestly, all my clients have really good food, but I'd never eaten there before, and it was off the hook. It was good.
I was working in a different office for the day program for a while, and I was really close to this place, and I had no idea about it. And I thought that the barbecue joint down the street from it was good, but, this blew it away. I mean, absolutely, I will go there again.
Well, see, here's what you need to do to support one of my clients and good people and great food. You need to tell the folks over in that office to check Hudson's Mill Tavern out for lunch or something, or dinner, whatever the hell, because it's really good.
It's amazing.
So the food was a highlight. The food was a highlight. Had never done a show there before. I had some people come out for my softball team, my Sunday softball team, my weekday softball team. A lot of them have seen me before. My Sunday softball team, some of them came out with their families. None of them coordinated with each other, so they sat at three different tables. Okay. I had Joe on the show. I had myself on the show, and I had Matt Jenkins on the show. Joe and Matt are very talented comedians, and I am whatever the hell I am. but it's a room with really high ceilings, and there's like a divider, a glass divider, and some people weren't there for the show, and it was hard to get people focused. So Matt has a dry bar special, and he's hosting my show, and these dry bar specials are a pretty big deal, to be honest with you. Why? I am so loud. I want to turn me down.
Oh, my God. Oh, isolate that.
No. Trust me, I get turned down plenty. No, I want to get our levels as good as possible. We have to get your situation solved so I can get the levels properly. Anyway.
Yeah.
But And Matt's done a lot of my shows. He's like, man, this is a, he went up there and he was not getting what he's accustomed to getting from the audience. And that doesn't happen at my shows. He's like, man, you have really good rooms. He's like, this is tough. This is tough.
Yeah.
Like I said, he's an excellent comic.
That was like pulling teeth for him.
Yeah, he's the first guy up, so it's always rough to be the first one. Okay.
Yeah.
So then Joe goes up, and, you know, Joe's funny. That goes without saying. You guys hear him here. He's funny, and he's a funny stand-up comedian. And, you know, I'm like, all right, well, Joe will get him. Yeah, moments, but not your normal Joe strong fire set.
No, and both of them were funny. I was like, yes. What happened here? Are there crickets behind me? What's going on?
Crickets would have been welcome. So I'm sitting there, and I have this immense pressure on me. It's my venue. The Hudson's Mill Tavern has taken a chance on me, and I'm providing them good comics. This is the first show. It's my venue. They're very nice. It's the first show. And I got people from the softball team there. So, you know, it's bad enough if you make a bad play in softball. I mean, nobody really says anything, though. Like, you make an error or something. Nobody really says anything. But if you eat your dick at your job and they paid good money, who the hell wants to hear those snide comments all summer?
Oh, God. Oh, I know.
And honestly, I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do. But I'm going to go down swinging. My ego will not allow me to just stand there and spit jokes and for the audience to become unscathed. If I am dismayed, they will know.
Yes.
And I was dismayed before I hit the stage because Matt and Joe are excellent comics, but it wasn't going the way I had envisioned it.
Yeah. Surprisingly so.
Yes, they're great comics. Of course, surprisingly so. Joe headlines stuff. Matt features stuff. He might even headline stuff. I don't know. But, I mean, I have them in slots where they have to do less time, so it should really be... Anyway, thank God for Pip Helix. That was the point of me bringing this up. First of all, Pip is sitting in the front. I know the front row, which is never what I want for comedy. It's never... Because I like to, you know... I don't want to screw. I pick on Pip and Joe here. I don't want to do it at a comedy show, you know.
Yes, you do.
Not really. So Pip is right in front. Joe's right there, and the manager of my softball team is to the left of them. And it's like I can't. And Joe goes after the manager of my softball team, and it went nowhere. It just but the manager myself, or one of the managers, I don't know if he's the manager. We got three different managers. I couldn't tell you if any of them actually manage anything, to be fair. This team is so dysfunctional. It really is. But the good guys. But so Joe's like, well, to Angelo, what do they call you? I guess that was the question. And yeah. Angelo fancies himself as a manager or the manager. So they say Skipper. Skipper is an affectionate term for a manager. It's also, if I was Joe, I would have gone Gilligan's Island route.
Totally.
Joe did not. I don't know what route Joe did go.
It was not making a lot of sense.
And it was already a tough night. Yeah. I mean, it's already difficult, so you're going to venture into the crowd, which is not his strength. He'll tell you that.
Well, first of all.
Oh, here he is.
First of all.
It's the voice. Hey, Pip, is that one of your bears talking?
Is it a giant bear talking?
I just pulled in. The guy was mumbling shit the whole half the time, you know, and I'm trying to get something out of him. Skipper, I'm trying to go somewhere with it. You know?
Yes, you went on a 3-hour tour and you wound up marooned on an island of nowhere.
And believe me, you didn't fare any better than Matt or I did.
Oh, yes, I did. Yes, I did.
No, not really. It was pulling a lot of teeth.
Oh, I was pulling teeth. I didn't say it went down the way I wanted it to.
No, but you didn't do any better than the both of us did.
Well, that's not what the people said. But oh, that's
what did the and what did the people say?
They liked me.
They like you. What do they think about the other two, the rest of us?
Anyway, so anyway.
What, they didn't think it was that good? No, I have to tell you the truth. I don't know what the people said, but you absolutely did not do any better than the both of us. You ate it like the rest of us did. Absolutely.
Well, the woman who hired me loved me and booked us for another show. So.
Yeah, but still. It was based on the talent of the whole show in general and not the crowd. Number two, you're moving it into the dining room, so changing it from a bar.
Yes, that's going to be a much better show.
Yes,
that's going to be a much easier show.
Tell me that you didn't need it either. We all ate it.
Okay. Like I said, I would have called it a home run for anybody. It was not a home run for anybody.
But you weren't taking a lap around the bases either. So
no, I wasn't. But I did what I had to do. To
did your time.
What?
You did your time.
No.
I saw you looking at your watch every.
Oh yes, of course. It was very difficult. I didn't say it was the most fun I ever had. I've had three really difficult shows to manage in a row, but. I figured it out, which was very tough to do. It's fine. Listen, I'm not sending out that tape to get more work.
No.
But I was able to work them and got it to listen. I sold some merch. People liked the show. Some Instagram followers, and we're getting another date in the fall. I did what I had to do, which is why I put myself in these. On the first show,
I understand that, but don't sit there and go, well, you know, Matt, you know, he it was rough for him, and then Joe.
We
both ate it. We, the three of us, ate it.
Okay.
You know, the crowd gave us absolutely nothing.
Yes, they did. I agree. I'm not. You know, before you chimed in as a faceless bear. Before you chime in, stop talking for a second. I was actually very complimentary of both you and Matt.
I understand that. I was listening to the show, but it's like, also, it's like, well, when I went up there, yeah, when you went up there, you ate it just as well.
No, I took a different tack than you guys did. You guys, you know, there's different tacks to do it. I said that when I started it. I said when I started, I go, if I am not having a good time, I will let the audience know it. And I did, and I sunk my fangs into them.
But here's the thing about the show. We all, yeah, I don't know about Matt, I had a good time up there.
He did not.
You know, as he worked for that crowd. But, you know, but the thing about it is that, you know, different tack you took, but there are sometimes you go up, you know, and you go, well, not my crown, you'll go up and you clean up, but you didn't do any better than we did. And I can tell you that for a fact. I don't know if Pip agrees, but you didn't do any better than the two of us did. You did longer, you know, you had a little, but you did not do any better than the other two did.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, that's your opinion.
All right, with that, I'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Okay.
I gotta get inside.
Okay, well. That's his opinion. Fortunately, the people. And by the way, the person who hired me liked the whole show.
Great.
Yeah, liked the whole show. So I don't know why he's defending. But she really liked me, and the people really came up to me afterwards. Now, part of that is you're the last guy and you're the headliner. That you know, they don't even count the first guy, half the people, because they don't you know, they'll come up to him, oh, you should really try comedy. Not Matt per se, but just if you any first guy or girl, they don't realize that the host is a comic a lot of times, which
right. No, I know, but the other thing is that he was already gone, so if people wanted to talk to him, he already gone.
Well, he asked me because if I'm there, I'll close out the show. He doesn't have to close out the show.
Right. No, I know. Well, I've, you know, helped, you know, run shows for you. And so, you know, it's like if the host is done or, you know, the first guy is done and they don't have to stick around to the end, here's your money, be on your way, you know. And most of them are happy to do that because it's like a long drive usually. But then you miss out the people who want to say nice things. It's like, the worst thing is a comedy show where people are sitting there smiling but they're not laughing out loud.
There was a lot of that. There was also ambient noise. There was a lot. I had the sound system cranked. Now that place, that sound system, the week before was doing where they make beer. What's that called? A brewery. It was a brewery outside in the rain, and it was loud enough. And I had this crap. It was hard because there's ambient noise, which we won't have in the side room. It actually is set up perfectly for comedy, that side room. But I did take
Matt said something funny about, it's not working really well when you can hear the dishes in the back.
I used to say that at City Steam. They'd be clanging dishes at you, which was a comedy club. It still might be a comedy club on the weekends where they used to pack them in. But right behind the stage, like behind the wall, the curtain, you hear them like smashing dishes and everything. Yeah, I mean, we used to do shows in Allentown at the Ramada, and it's a divided room, and the thing right in front of you was a blender, and they sold a lot of frozen drinks.
Oh God! That's painful.
But I did take a different tact than the other two.
You usually take the tact of I'm not happy with how you people are doing or what you know.
Well, that's not true. When I'm happy with them, I don't say that.
When things are starting to like go off kilter or like they're like being sensitive about jokes and are like, oh, instead of laughing, I've seen you sink your fangs into them. I didn't feel that you sunk your fangs in particularly much this time, and you were working much harder than I've seen you work in a while.
Yes,
that
I was.
That was a tough one for everybody.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
Yeah.
But I figured it out. I did. I had to get us to even. And that, I wasn't just going to go up there and spit jokes and watch them die. Because I won't. My ego won't allow that. So, I mean, I engage them more.
I don't know how to grade that.
I don't want to be graded. It's not a grade.
You said more, and I'm like...
Than most performers, than most performers, I engage the audience.
I think they were still not really responsive. They were a little bit more, and not to say anything against your talent or how funny you are, but I think they were finally as warmed up as they were going to ever get.
No, it took about halfway through, about 15, 20 minutes through, they finally came together as an audience. By halfway through the set, it was finally a comedy show, which is a long way to go for the audience to come together.
I enjoyed the jokes and everything, but also, I suffer from that. I told you, I can't watch I Love Lucy without suffering because I'm just like, oh, for the love of God, just tell Ricky you want to be in the show. You're killing me.
Yeah.
I can't. I suffer when they just are, when things are happening, just make it, they're struggling, and I work really hard to try to help them. It's exhausting, that show. So when comics are working really hard and the audience is just like dead for some reason, I work really hard with them.
That's what the point of me telling you this was. You laugh at jokes you've heard before, which, thank you. I'm like telling jokes and you're laughing. I'm like, really? You've heard me do this joke a half a dozen times. Thank you. What?
Funny's funny.
But I appreciate that. I'd look down and you're laughing. I'm thinking, well, that's awfully kind of her. She's heard this nonsense before.
It's partially my job. It's partially because, you guys like having me on the show because I enjoy your senses of humor, and, I just like having a good time. So it's like, if I think something's funny, I'm going to laugh. I'm not like too cool for school, I've heard that before. Oh, that wasn't quite as witty as the way I've heard it told before. It's like those kind of people bore me. Just enjoy yourself. If it's funny, laugh, goddammit.
But see, that's why you're so important. Not that it was forced laughter, but you got
to
you got to get the laughs somewhere. So you are a consistent laugher. So that really helps. So now you have ground zero. Normally, I don't like seeing people I know in the front because I can't gauge anything by that. But you're ground zero. And then I had the table with the veteran and his wife.
Yes.
So I had the front and I had the back, which is what you have to do. You have to play to the people that are laughing. You get them. I had that table on board. I had you on board. And then from there, it kind of builds together. But you gotta stick and move sometimes. Like, there's no resting on the laurels on a show like that. There's like, no, oh, I have them now. Here we go.
I know. I thought Matt was really a cutie pie, and he was funny. He's very funny. And I, you know what? He was just kind of like, I know he was like working really hard, but he was just like, he smiled really big, even when something didn't hit at all. And he almost looked like he was amused by the fact that it's like, really?
Yeah.
Nothing?
Well, there's different ways to get through that. That was Matt's way. Joe has been doing these mics, so he just continues delivering material. And I'm like, fuck no. You are not ruining my night.
See that, but I like watching the different techniques comedians have how to get through a difficult crowd night. I mean, it wasn't that they were lovely people. I could tell when they were filing out, they were all smiling and being.
They left happy. They left happy. These first shows, you got to understand, first shows in a place where it's never done comedy. A lot of these people have never been to a comedy show before. You know, they don't know what to expect. I mean, there's a guy, Joseph Anthony, who's a great headliner, who used to be my go-to headliner on first shows because he can stick and move. He's a great crowd work guy, and he's got great material, and, you know, he will call a moment. He's a great act. You need people like that on these kamikaze first shows. I can't – the original – back in the day, I would have Joseph Anthony headline, Larry DeFelice, who used to be a contributor to this show, the voice of God, and little devil, great impressionist. He used to be my feature, and I would host. And you know, now I've mixed it up and all. But you really these first shows, you need to have. I think you almost have to have music. But I hate starting it out with music because then it's a specialty act. You really need people that can plow through it, I guess, or stick and move and just kind of put it together.
Can I stop you for a second? Because I've heard you just use this term for the first time. I don't know if it was just tonight or maybe once before, but I've never heard the term stick and move before. Can you elaborate?
It's a boxing term. So basically, Don't get on your laurels. Okay, you're here. Let's go here. All right, nothing's working here. We have to go over here. It's just constantly not repeating the same thing and accepting the result that you're not happy with. Now, it can still ultimately go horribly wrong. I mean, there's only so much you could do with a group of strangers that have no investment in your mental health.
Well, I mean, there's one thing, this group of people that are smilers rather than laughers, you know, and the difficulties of the room that we've just discussed. I saw a guy in Atlantic City where I didn't think that he was bad, per se, but he was doing overly intellectual and sort of surreal comedy, you know, in a let make me guffaw kind of room and small place, but also they started to dislike him, and he kind of just like burrow down into it like, yeah, I know you hate me. I'm having a bad night. And didn't try to dig out at all. And by the time that was done, it was so, so self-defeating. And everybody's like, what the hell just happened?
You can take shots at yourself, but you got to make them funny. I take plenty of shots at myself. I take shots at, yeah. You know what stick and move is? Here, Pip, nice and simple. Figure it out. You need, that's why I get brought in by other agencies and clubs a lot of times on first shows, because they know I'll figure it out. I'm starting the brand new comedy club in Niles, Michigan in September, because I'll figure it out. What does that mean? It doesn't mean I'm better than anybody else. It means I'm versatile. That's what stick and move is. And then you can break in a room and it becomes a good comedy room. And then you could give them usually all sorts of comedy because they know they're going to come there. They know they're going to see good comedy. And, they are trained up to be a comedy crowd. Even if they don't know who the comics are, they know they're going to have a good night. But you need to build a room first. And that's what a lot of these shows are, is the first show is building a room. But, yeah, I would say you know who? Another guy who's really good at like crowd work and has good material. Not a little different than Joseph Anthony. Doug Karff. Do you know Doug?
No, I can't say I do.
He started around when we did, actually. Maybe a little bit afterwards. A little bit newer than you and I were at the time. Now he's over 20 years. Doug Karff is another guy. He's like a bulldog. He'll rip him apart. He's got great material. He'll make fun of stuff. There's certain people that can handle insanity. Now listen, Jerry Seinfeld is not going to be plopped into a room like this, and if they're not buying it, he's not going to start talking to you. Jerry Seinfeld's going to do Jerry Seinfeld's act, which is fine. And that's why I try to explain to these venues when I get them. I go, you know, listen, they could be great comics, but they just aren't going to adapt, and they don't have to or they don't want to. That's fine. I'll figure it out. That's what I tell them. I go, I will figure it out. And, you know, Joe can say what he wants to say, but I figured it out. I pulled them together. Now, I had the privilege of watching 45 minutes of comedy beforehand, so I was given a heads up, unlike Matt. Matt had no heads up.
Oh, my God. He walked right into the headlights. It was like, oh, my God, here comes a truck.
Right. And during Matt's act, I had to keep on cranking up the sound because, that's the hard part about being the host, because you're kind of the guinea pig, and he's a trooper, but you got to send him home happy. You have to figure it out. That's when I'm closing, that's what I figure. I like, no matter who, it's like I have to send them home happy. Failure is not an option. Now success looks differently on different nights. Like, well, you didn't kill. No, I did not kill. You will not hear me say I killed. But but I figured it out, and I pulled that room together. That's what I did. I picked away, thanks in part to you, and those other people bought in. And again, I had people there that wanted to see me succeed. They weren't like overly huge laughers or anything. But you figure it out. Okay, what's work? You know what really works in these situations? Calling the moment, as Joe likes to say, and self-deprecating stuff.
Oh yeah.
And making fun of their silly asses.
but
that's really the key. You make fun of them, you make fun of yourself, you mix in material. That's really the key. That's what I mean by stick and move. It's not like, okay, I'm just gonna do my material tonight and you know, to hell with it, or I'm just gonna make fun of them tonight. Sticking and moving is trying everything and weaving it in and out. Ideally, I could go up there on when everything is just right and I could just spit my jokes for 45 minutes or 60 minutes and go home. It's a lot less work that way. It really is.
Yeah.
Because talking to everybody, trying to retain what everybody's saying, thinking that, it's actually kind of tiring. Now, it's not manual labor tiring. You know, I'm not jackhammering I-95. Trust me. I'm fully aware. I'm not humping 70 pounds of gear up a mountain like a Marine. I get it. I know that. But as far as comedy's concerned, all that in the moment, going all over, trying to figure out what they'll like, what you can get away with, what's going on with the sound, what's going on with the weight. It takes mental energy. It's tiring.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Because if you're just going to stick with what you know, tried and true, that, I mean, and maybe it's not true because it's not working the way it
normally. Let me stop you right there. It can be tried and true. I mean, the material can be brilliant, but sometimes they don't want to hear material, or they're not trained up to it. But that's what you have to understand, the level you're at. They're not coming to Carnegie Hall to see me. If you're coming to Carnegie Hall to see me, then all the material is tried and true. They're all fans, and they want to hear your material. If you're just being plopped down in a restaurant or a bar or an Elks or a Firehouse, and they don't know who you are, you should try and figure it out. Now, a lot of comics don't want to be bothered, and I don't blame them for that. They're like, listen, you hired me to do my job. These are the acts. You know what the acts are. I mean, you know what the jokes are. I'm going to do my jokes, and if they don't laugh, fuck them. That's fine, too. That's okay, too. And there's a lot of really great comics who are like that. But, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think you're in a different position since it's your room.
But it's the same position. It is a different position because it's my room. But I feel that same pressure in anybody's room. Trust me, I am the first headliner in this club in Niles because the owner who knows me wanted somebody else, but the GM is like, no, for the first week, you need him. So there is immense pressure. It's like, you know, it's not like I'm sitting there shaking before the show starts, but there's this, you've got to figure it out. That's really what it is. I'm going to be one of the first comics at a new not the first group, but one of the first at a comedy club by Hershey Park. I got coming up in July, and I'm in that first group because first of all the bookers are my friends, but also they've seen me in the city, they've seen me on the road, they've seen me do late nights, they see me do firehouses, they see me do restaurants. They know you're going to figure it out. And that's what sticking and moving is. Not just...
Yeah, but that... Can you hear me?
Unfortunately.
Yeah? All right, yeah. But that the whole thing with that night, and then what I'm saying that you didn't do any better than the other two of us, is when I got done, I go, all right, this is Davin's forte. I'm going to sit, and I'm going to watch Davin work this, because this is what you do. The reason I'm adamant about it is it was a tough room.
Yes, it was.
It was tough getting them going.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I have not said a bad thing about you or Matt. I am not disagreeing with you at all.
But you did. You were pulling teeth as well.
Yes.
You had your moments, but you were pulling teeth as well.
Yes, but I never said it was my favorite show ever or I kill. I never said that. But all I
said. Thank you, because that one molar has been bothering me for a long time. So thank you.
But I did what I had to do for them to give me another date in the other room. And now I know that room better. And it's going to be easier for the next comics because it's going to be in that room.
It's going to be a better show. And the place in general, I mean, you know, they were nice people. It wasn't that they, I mean, they were nice people. It was the way it was set up. I heard you. The food was, beyond amazing. I know you talked about that. And it's a very, very nice venue, you know. So, you know, so it's good. There's going to be a second show. And also it's going to be moved into that dining room, which is going to be more conducive for the show. Because, it was wide open. You know, the show didn't translate as well as it should just due to where it was in the room.
Yeah.
So, you'll do fine. The shows are going to be good. And you seem like nice people to work with. And the food is fantastic.
Well, my point is, my MVP for the evening is Pip Helix. That's what I contend. You were my MVP, because no matter what nonsense you heard me and Joe spit, you were laughing, and I appreciate that. I give you shit here for laughing at you. I'm like, really, you're laughing at that? But your laughs are sincere, and you know, most nights I don't need your laughs because everybody else is laughing, although always appreciated. On that night, you were the anchor in a good way, not like
Pip was there for me too.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
I got to tell you, it was a lovely day spending the day with you guys, and then heading to the gig, and then hanging at the gig and doing the show. So that was a great day. I mean, we don't get to, you know, we haven't done that in a while.
Nope.
I mean, you know, I mean, we did it back in March, but we didn't do the show that day. So, you know, we did the show. We had a good time. We hung out. We headed to the gig. We had a lovely meal. You know, good time. And the show was fun. Don't get me wrong. I had a good time at the show.
Show was fine. The show was fine.
It was fine.
Like I said, every comic on that show is a good comic. You got to, like, hair up your ass like I was saying bad things. I wasn't saying bad things. But like you said, it's what I do. No, it's not what I want to do. Trust me. I'd love to be able to go up there like I was telling Bip and do my jokes. But yes, we've done enough hard gigs. I mean, Pip, really what it is, it's like Rivera's. Now, this was way better than Rivera's. But Rivera's, when we used to perform their mics, the TV's on. You got the jukebox next to you. You got people at the bar. There's a lot of distractions. Why do you guys do those mics? Why'd you guys do that? So I could 26, 7 years, whatever the hell it is later, so I can do this gig. That's why I did it.
But even with the mics until this day, I mean, there's a big contingent of mics on the island that I go to all the time to work on new material. And what got me through that gig, ever said it that night, was the pacing from the mics. Because you're not at the mics, everybody's looking at their phone and not paying attention. So you have that pacing where you're going over the joke, you're trying to explain the joke. If the joke doesn't get what you want, you're not rushing to get the next joke in. You take your time, take a sip of water, you go on to the next thing. And it not only affects your pacing well, it also shows the audience that you're unflappable. That, you know,
yeah.
It's like you're up there and it shows that you're still in control. Maybe you people have the problem, you're not laughing, you know. But I believe in the material, you know. So yeah, so the mics, and I told the young guys there too. You know, I go, you guys are getting the best training in the world with this stuff, because when you get to a regulation show, it's going to help immensely. And I go, by the way, I go, that Tuesday night thriller gig down south, this is what it's going to be. And that night, you got to have the tools to do it. So, you know, yeah, I know these things, you know, the mics can be, you know, they're draining. But still, you know, when you get up there and, you're doing your six, you're getting an education.
See, fortunately, I get paid well to do horrible gigs. So I don't have to do the mics. They pay me, and I get to work on those muscles on their dime. I mean, gee, I got a vagina over me in Judaic questions. There's not a mic in Long Island that's going to train you up for that. And now, by the way, I am producing the show for the Booker there this coming Saturday. I will be there. So I'm running the show for her. And I'm going to be...
That's what Booker you did the upstate gig with, the new Booker?
Yep. And I'll be hosting the show at the end of July there. But she pays me well, and she wants to produce shows with me. She's like, am I ready to produce shows with you? I go, we can, but we're not doing it any the way that you do this now. There's just no way that we're going to do it my way.
Well, I'm sure you told her. Oh, I'm sorry, Pip.
No, I was just going to say, are you going to run the show vagina-free?
Well, so another comic who was at that show and is going to be headlining the show I'm doing at the end of July said they should put in the contract that if the TV goes on, she gets $100. Of course, she's not working with a contract. So I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there this Saturday. And she's like, oh, you want to perform? You know, you could go on, do something. I'm like, no, I'm good. So I'm really just going up. I'm just going up to run the show, which I'm happy with.
You know, there's a lot of things that you learn along the way. Like if you're doing, and I had to concede to it when I was doing the Yacht Club this year, and they wanted to do the raffle in the middle, and I'm like, I go, it's not a great idea. I go because it breaks the momentum up of the show. And I go. You're the boss.
It's their gig.
You know, we pulled it off. You know, I told Mick way before the show. Like Mick Thomas was closing, so I go, Mick, they're gonna want to take a break. You want to show up a little later? But I go, and I told Mick, and they're insisting. Oh, you know, don't worry, lad. And Mick did fine. He picked it right up and destroyed. But still, it's little things like that. You know, well, we want to do. Well, you really don't. You know, and you this and that and the other. Little snippet stuff where if you haven't been doing it, you go, oh, okay. But if you have been doing it, you'd be cordial. I mean, they're paying you, but you still try to set the show up the way a show could.
Well, fortunately,
Yeah.
Fortunately, this owner likes me. From the one time I was at, like, they're thrilled I'm coming back, and he's a good dude. But I'm going to, you know, explain to him that he's really undermining his venue if the TVs are on, because it looks like the venue isn't taking it seriously. And the only way we can build this properly, I'll be like, listen, man, I don't, when I'm up there, you can throw whatever you want at me. You've already seen that. But not every comic can do that, and it's not good. So, again, I can't make him not turn on the TV. I can't, because, as Joe said, it's their venue. But I can try to reason with him. So we'll see how that goes.
With him at the end, you know, at the end, well, this not, well, because you have the TVs on. That's why I was saying you really would need to have the TV.
The interesting thing was, when I had that vagina TV on, everybody was still looking at me. I was the only one looking at the vagina. Now, it was facing me. They would have had to crane their heads. But I have to say, I don't know if I would have turned my back to the vagina to watch the comic. I don't know if I had.
Is that the gig? Is that where you're going back to this weekend?
I'm going back there to run it for them, and I'm going back there the end of July to host. Listen, you pay me well, I will go. I don't care. Now the booker of this, according to her and her friend, think I give off a single vibe. I'm like, a what now? I've never heard this about me. She's like, well, you don't really talk about being married or anything. And I said, well, in my defense, I really didn't get to talk about much of anything I planned to talk about because there was a vagina and Judea questions being thrown at me. So, but, Pip, you've seen me. Do I give off a single vibe?
You know what? I think I know you too well. I don't think that I can tell.
I think I just give off a friendly vibe, and like it's not like I'm hanging out with people after the show, so I don't know how I could possibly be giving any vibe. I am all about getting off stage, selling the merch, getting paid, and getting the hell out of town.
I don't know what kind of vibe you came on. I mean, when we were doing that show together, where we were in Scranton or wherever the hell it was back in February, you got on, and I'm not saying it's your fault because it wasn't. But that woman starts riding with you. You didn't put your fucking water down yet.
No.
I don't even say boo yet. What's this person's problem?
That was the Will Talk woman. Yes. We did that fundraiser. Yes. I remember.
Yeah, yeah. And you get up there and the woman starts riding with you. I'm like, holy.
You know, I think they're mistaken because her friend was the singles woman. I think I give off a very comfortable vibe, where people feel very at ease with me, which would, I'm not going to say that would explain Scranton, because nothing explains that. Because as Joe said, I hadn't done anything yet. But I think...
done anything? You didn't even put your water on the stool
no,
yet.
No. She was just looking to make a scene, and she made it with the wrong guy.
Yeah.
I think I have a very laid-back style. Like, just I think because I'm very conversational and the way I deliver material, which I had to work on, so it doesn't sound like material. Because, you know, it takes you years to tell jokes where it doesn't sound like you're telling jokes. Now, I know some comics, that's their whole style. They tell jokes that sound like jokes. It's never been me. When I was telling jokes that sounded like jokes, it wasn't intentional. I just wasn't comfortable enough. So
right.
I think I give off a very comfortable vibe, and people interpret that in all sorts of ways. Usually it's fucking yelling nonsense at me.
I know. What is that with people? I was a little worried about the skipper there because he knew Davin. He was starting to get a little comfortable with talking to whoever was standing there, and I was like, oh, no, 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 no. Don't do that. I'm going to yell stuff at the stage thing because really, no, please no.
He was good. He was good though. You should see him on Sundays. He likes to yell on Sundays. Oh, good God, does he like to yell?
I'm sure he does. Did you play softball on Sunday?
Did what?
You play softball on Sunday?
I did, and we won.
And what was and the feed? And go, good, good, good. And what was the feedback? The show, people enjoyed the show.
Yeah, it was positive.
Cool.
Yeah. So I don't know. So this is the first I've heard I give off a single vibe. I think people interpret what they want to interpret, because it's not like I'm like the old Johnny Watson who's sitting there. You know, the whole purpose of the set was to find a girl for the night. I mean, I remember though, we used to have the Johnny Watson drinking game where
oh, yeah. Believe me, he hasn't changed.
No.
Well, you know what? You have to, when you get that stool like all comedians do, don't bend anybody over it, and they'll stop thinking you're single.
Wait, don't what? Don't do what now?
Don't bend anybody over the stool.
Oh, I see.
They'll stop thinking you're single.
I love him to death, and he was at the brokerage last month. So I went, went down to support stuff like that, and then we're hanging out at the end of the night, and he starts talking to the bartender. Hey, so what's your name? And I'm like, here he goes.
Oh, jeez.
Here he goes.
See, and I'm like the opposite. Like, if you talk to me, I will be friendly to you. Like, But if you don't talk to me, I'm perfectly happy not talking to anybody. Also, I am perfectly content standing at the end of the bar, drinking my Diet Coke, and talking to nobody.
I'm the same way. Let me tell you something. When I was at that wedding 2 weeks ago, I'm sitting there, and I'm like just sitting by myself, and I'm all, sitting alone. And I'm like, you want to know something? I go, I don't mind. I don't know if I want, with Joe's girl, but like a relationship. I mean, Joanne screwed me up so much that I just like being alone and left by myself and to my own devices and not, having to deal with somebody being narcissistic and all of it. And I'm like, I don't want to die alone, but maybe I do. It's weird. I'm in a very weird place.
You want to be in a relationship where your significant other does not have a speaking part.
Yeah.
And really, that's a lot of our dreams. But we just acquiesce and go, okay, this person's going to talk a lot and I'm going to have to listen. You haven't made that transition yet. You're still like, I don't really want to hear what they have to say.
Yeah, I never was good at small talk.
Let me tell you, nobody wants to hear what I have to say, but my wife lives with me. They're close quarters. She's got no choice. That's it's not like I'm spinning gold yarns and people are gathered around on stones by my feet. Oh, pray tell, what will he say next? No, that's not happening. My wife made a mistake. She said I do, so now she has to humor me. That's what a relationship is. You just have not wrapped your head around that yet.
But Joanne used to narrate me if I was like, Joanne, I'm in a hurry. Oh, I must move out of the way because Strusen called stupid for a spot at Governor's. Everybody, out of the way.
You know what? As somebody who's not being narrated, that's actually very funny.
Yeah.
As somebody who's not being, you know what? I kind of wish you would have put that in the pilot we wrote for you.
Yeah.
That would have been amazing. That would have been an awesome character quirk. I don't remember what the hell we called that her character, but that was, I really enjoy that character quirk, and now I might try to work that in somehow on my show.
There was one day, and she was just being a bitch, and she goes, "You're a loser. You're a nobody. You're wasting your time doing the comedy. All your friends made it. Oh yeah, Adam made it. And Joe made it. Anthony made it. All this made it."
Hey! Hold on. I hope you brought up my name right there and go, "Not everybody."
No, but all your friends made it. Anthony made it. And Adam made it. And all your friends are on Kevin Can Wait. Well, apparently Joe can wait, because you're never going to get on there or anywhere. And I had to walk out of the room because I couldn't stop laughing. I was just
This is the difference.
It had to be the funniest fucking thing.
I have a quicker mind when it comes to improv than you. And I would have said, yeah, you know what they all have in common? They didn't marry you.
Yeah. It was the way she said it was so funny.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to give her the upper hand. And I had to walk away and go into the other room. I just started laughing. I mean, it was hysterical,
Yeah, she brought the fun.
I understand that it's funny now. I have a hard time thinking that I would think that's funny in the moment.
No, it's hurtful.
That would hurt my feelings.
No, that. Yeah. I mean, listen, at home
my feelings have been trampled. Like, you ever see when cars run over, like where the railroad goes by and cars run over it and that steel plate? Those are my feelings.
Huh.
It runs off. It's fucking galvanized to my feelings,
Yeah, but you do need that support somewhere in somebody who believes in you, and we have that person. It's called Pip. Pip is that person in our lives.
Yes.
Pippa's like the most outwardly supportive person. I don't know what she inwardly thinks. And quite frankly, it's a scary place. I don't necessarily want to know what she inwardly thinks. But as far as you and I and our career endeavors, Pip Helix, top of the tops as far as supportive. I mean that genuinely.
Let me tell you something, though. When the show goes, when the show, and hopefully the show will get big, and they have Pip in an interview. So Pip, tell us really about Davin and Joe. Yeah. Oh boy.
I think they're gonna call that special Behind the Assholes.
Yeah.
Oh, trust me, I'm one of those assholes. Trust me.
Yeah. Well, you are, but when it comes to. Our shenanigans and our career endeavors, you are an extremely supportive friend. So that
goes. Oh, absolutely, and an integral part of it, especially.
Oh, well, obviously, she's not here because I like cute bear backgrounds.
I understand that, but
she's not right. Here for her command of technology, I assure you.
the human element, I mean, she was there, we haven't hung out in a while, all three of us. I mean, we did briefly when we did the gig back in March, but, spending the day actually doing that one show and then heading to the – it was great to hang out with everybody, and the chemistry is there because we're friends and we have a good time hanging out, and it translates onto the show. So, and you can't make chemistry. You can't do it.
Well, my daughter proved that last year. Her sophomore year in school. And I proved that in my time. You can't make chemistry, but chemistry can make your ass.
No, I appreciate that, guys.
Well, and continue to be supportive. Read the goddamn pilot I sent you. It's good.
I will.
We are at the point now where I want to do a table read just to hear it one more time and get everybody's thoughts. And then we are going to pitch it. And the people who have seen who've made many versions really, really like what we did with this. Now, what's that mean? Who the hell knows? I don't know.
Well, is this version the last version, the final version?
All right, now you sound like my wife.
No, I'm not being an asshole.
Well, you can't help it.
And I haven't had time to read it. I've been running since our show last week. I've been just.
It is, unless the feedback we get from people is, like, trash, I mean, there might be little tweaks here and here. This was a major rewrite. This was a major, major rewrite. From what you read the first time, we've moved things around. We've added things. A big critique that we got from somebody who was, pretty significant in the industry at one point, has had movies made that he's written and episodes of TV shows that he's written. He raises a good point. He's like, so much of this is two people sitting and talking. There needs to be action. And it was an excellent point, which me and Sean, my co-writer, had not realized. So we took that point, and I had realized a little bit, so I added some stuff. We'd already started to. But when he said it hit home, and then Sean loves this, I go, let's write this as why not. I go, this is the lead. I go, remember when we came up with this shit? We're writing future episodes. We are laughing out loud. I go, this is the least fun episode we have written out. Let's fucking go crazy. And there are scenes. There's especially one scene where it is completely fucking crazy. Where if you were watching this, it's so colorful, so ridiculous, so insane. But it's for a point. There's a point for it. It's not like we're just doing it to do it. Because then we go back to the interview and there's the contrast, but I'm like it was so much more fun now, so we feel good about it. That's why I want to get you guys' opinion.
I'll have time to read. I've got the holiday. I got 4 days off, I haven't had a chance to do anything in my office around the house. So yeah, I'm gonna I've got nowhere to go. Nobody's inviting me anywhere. I don't go anywhere. Might go to the beach, but the bottom line is that I'll take a look at it because I'm planning on chilling the fuck out this weekend.
He also said, which I hadn't realized, I should have. He goes, just because it's the truth doesn't mean it's the best version. So a lot of it is based on truth, like how we came up with the scamming scammers. The way it was originally written was pretty much how we came up with it. Now we took with the elements of that and we moved it to a different place, not to be a spoiler. So originally, I came up with it. I was sitting at home. I call Pip. What do you think? The new version is Pip comes out to see me at a New York comedy club. So Pip is actually with me in real time. So it takes it out of sitting at the computer, more action. So it's just more color, more texture to it. That's some of the stuff that's been completely written. So, yes, a lot of it is true, but you stretch the truth a little bit because you're making a show.
And yeah, and a lot of, and some of it, you know, some of it, just the first episode, the first one of the script, it sounds like, well, you're at a crossroads, and it's kind of depressing.
Oh, no, there's depressing aspects of it, but because we've built, there are dramatic aspects of it, and there are depressing things that I've really had to deal with, not necessarily in my personal life, because a lot of the personal stuff is not really accurate, but as far as what I dealt with scammers and scam victims, Pip knows, because Pip used to, Pip always got to the, on Tuesday night, she always got to my old house before you, she lived closer, we're closer, and she would just see me, and I was completely wrung out, because I'd been dealing with the scam groups, and I'd been dealing with victims and everything, and it was just such a toll on me, because there was so many people were relying on me, whether it be life or death, or just to keep the peace, or to research this. I think Pip was there when I said, I got to get out of these scam groups. And that came after a long time, because I'd become, originally I knew nothing about it. And then I was brought into it, and I was distrusted. Then I slowly gained everybody's trust. Then I became a resource where I was somebody who could actually get things done. And then I became an administrator in many of these groups. But there was just such a toll taken on me, and Pip could see it. So yeah, there are some sad things in there. There are dramatic things, not necessarily all in the pilot per se. But yeah,
had this. I hate to interrupt you, but you have all it. You just discussed. You have all this in future log lines.
Yeah, we've written out 7 more episodes. You know how it would go, and fortunately, it's in my head and it's in the podcast. Now that's not in the podcast. But that I remember.
What you were going through and all, being in these groups.
That was not in the podcast. I never brought that to the show. That was just Pip and I.
What I'm saying is, you bring it to the pilot. You bring it to future episodes. In
yes.
The pipeline.
Oh yes, 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 yes. Of course.
That's a B. I don't have to tell you. That's a B story. You know.
Well, yeah. I mean, here what the pilot has is. You know, I'm educational. I'm going through personal shit, and I'm dealing with victims. I mean, there's a lot. You know, but whatever. You'll fucking read the pilot. Don't worry. It doesn't matter. It's good. I think you're gonna like it. I feel good about it. And like I told you,
I'll read it. I'll read it this over the holiday.
Like I told you, I wish we could take another swing at Flush, and do it the way I'm doing this. Because I still contend there's a story there that if we don't
have, you know what? Yeah, and you know what? I got to reach out to him and see what's going on.
I don't know. I don't know if we write with him again. No. I mean, we're friends.
Just to find out. You know, I don't want to go into details last night, but we had band drama last night at rehearsal. We may have to cancel a gig.
No.
So you know, it's like when you think something's moving, and I'll dab up, you know, I'll tell you privately. But we had an episode last night that was very bad. So, and we might have to cancel our gig, go over it.
And
now we might be back to square one again. So, I got to deal with that. So, you know,
Here's the thing. Here's the thing with these bands. I'm guessing this is personnel problems. It's hard. The more personalities you get in a situation, the harder it is. So their band has like 5 or 6 members. It's not – the music is the easy part, I'm guessing. You know, like that's the fun part, getting to jam together.
It was, without getting into detail, our rehearsals had been very stressful and on edge.
Ugh.
And last night it came to a big head last night.
See, that's a mistake, man. And I'm not blaming you, but –
It's not my fault. It's the situation that which, you know, I don't want to get into it.
No, but here's the key. Like, we have done this for a very long time. We probably should have stopped a bunch of times. But if we didn't there's a lot of times where if we weren't doing it because we actually had fun with it, what's the point? I mean, you guys are doing prep and everything. I'm doing hours of work for this show. But we get together on Tuesday night for 3 hours, and we had fun. If we're not having fun, what's the point?
Right. Well, right. The perfect example is of somebody in the band being off. And when I was going through my divorce and all the shenanigans that went around it, I apologize to you guys again. When I was doing the clip from that period, I'm listening to myself and I'm like, who is this guy? And I noticed that you guys didn't know what kind of who was going to be coming down the stairs.
Oh, I had a good idea.
Also, there was a situation in Grace Odyssey where I was going. It was the same period, and the band looked at me and goes, "Joe, we're trying to have fun. You need to relax." And I realized between you guys and those guys that I was the problem. So when Michael asked me to join Fragile Sky, I didn't for over a year and a half because he asked me repeatedly because I still didn't have my act together. Once the storm clouds passed and everything, you know, I'm like, Michael, if you want, and everything is fine. There was a situation we have within the band that somebody is going through something a little worse than I was.
Oh, wow.
But we have to deal, you know, we were patient, we were helping him, and it was rolling backwards for the past month, and it came to a very big head last night. And,
it's hard.
Now we have a gig scheduled for August. We're probably not going to do it. We're trying to find a replacement, see if we can help us.
Wow.
You know, it was a very big issue. So I have to deal with that. So I would like to get back to that writer to find out what happened with that project. With the weight of the world, I want to get back to the musical part, but, you know, Dab, I always say that something can't get done because something has to get done. And, you know, Cammy's busy with a side business, and we still want to get there. We even had a chance to even speak to each other.
Well, you know, Joe, you know what I find the workaround is for that? And I've recently discovered that. About 3 hours of sleep. If you can function on 3 hours of sleep, suddenly there's a lot more time to get shit done.
This week, Dab, that you'll go, you need to get this done, this done, this done. Okay. And then, like, Johnny Racer go, yeah, we're going to do this and this and this. Okay, I guess I'm not fucking sleeping this week. Yeah. I've had those weeks, believe me. I know the drill.
Well, as far as your band, obviously I don't know what's going on, but hopefully there is somebody within the band that is respected by all the other members of the band and can kind of, like, put a salve on and get everybody to go, listen, we're all friends here. Let's.
Yeah, no, we had that discussion on the way home last night, and we were texting each other all this morning.
Good.
What we're gonna do? It's a good band, and you know when that band is a well-oiled machine. When we get done playing, people are like, "What are you people doing here?" And it just was not where we were going, and there was a big block in the way to get there, and it came to a head last night. And So I wish the person well. I wish that he gets the help he needs. But it's back to the old drawing board again, you know?
Yep. Have seen that before.
Yeah, it's hard with bands.
It happens. And that's the thing, you know, and the thing about it is people go, well, what do you like better, being in a band or doing comedy? And I go, well, the thing about it is when you're doing stand-up, you need a reaction every 3 to 5 seconds. When you play in a band, you can get a reaction every 3 to 4 minutes.
Interesting.
But the thing about the difference between being in a band and being in comedy, if you go do a gig as a comic, and you know, and it goes okay, and it's fine, it's like, would you like to come back next month? Yeah, definitely, man. Is the 8th? Yeah, come back on the 8th, but it's fine. If you're in a band and the band plays a place, you go, would you guys like to come back? Yeah, what do you got? We'll come back on the 12th. On the ride home, why did you tell the guy we're coming back? Why did you do that? You know, Pip, I'm sure you hear that stuff too from Mr. Helix. So that's the difference. You used to get, and when I would, after doing stand-up so long, when I started playing in bands again, I had a very big problem getting used to that again, where if you make a decision, it's got to be what 5 guys want and not what you
want. Well, here's what I learned with this show and from the things that you said, and I've said it before, and then we'll move on. This show functioned better when I just said, fuck it, I'm making the decision. I will listen to you guys. I will make the decision. And from listening to Joe's stories about the bands that he's been in, Brother Joe Cumia, seems to be that guy. Fuck it. I'm making the decision. Let's go. I guess you need that.
Well, a lot of it, now what happens is, and there was a point when Joe would have, he has to be that way, and there was a whole bunch of guys that he fired. that he didn't want to hear this shit anymore.
Well, I did that with my first show. I did it before there was this show. I had another show, and it wasn't working. And I would do it again if I had to. I am very driven. Now, I put up with stuff that I wish I didn't have to put up with you guys, because I love you guys and I enjoy doing the show with you. I mean, that's the reality. It's very – and I find Joe Cumia to be a very driven person too.
Well, that work ethic Joe drilled into me. Now, here's the thing where I pulled what Joe did. There was a version of Race Odyssey that we were supposed to – we were going to open up a Zebra at this place called the Crazy Donkey. And people were doing
what was it, Noah's Ark?
Huh?
I said, what was it, Noah's Ark?
Donkey. No, Crazy Donkey. Was it?
I know, but listen to what you said. We're opening for Zebra at a place called the Crazy Donkey. Well, why not throw a mule in there, too? What the hell?
Yeah. Well,
it's always a yak. It's always a yak.
Always go back to yak.
And the thing about it is this guy didn't want to do this. This guy didn't want to do that. Johnny's on the phone with me. And I said, I go, John, we're going to fucking fire everybody. We're firing everybody. And we fired everybody. And we wound up opening for Zebra. We did acoustic. It was obviously me on keyboards, Johnny on guitar, Jen, God rest her soul, and Johnny Wilberg on guitar again. And we did an acoustic set, and we did very well. But my thing was, I am at the point right now, and it was one of the things that I was kind of adamant last night, and were adamant back then. I am at an age, and was an age, I am not dragging people to the fucking gig kicking and screaming. I'm not doing, and Joe is the same way, and I modeled, you know, that after Joe. I told Johnny that. I go, so we're firing everybody. We'll do the gig, we'll figure it out, we'll get Johnny with Jet, and we're firing it, and we did. And sometimes you have to get that way. You know?
It's hard, you know, especially if you don't want to be a jerk, but if you have goals, I mean, people are either helping you achieve those goals or they're not helping you achieve those goals.
When Rock did, I'm talking about 30 years ago when the band was going for a record deal, I got put on hiatus for a year, and I had to fight my way back into the band. And really? Joe told me a couple of years ago, you know, man, I apologize for that. I go, don't you dare. I go, you put a work ethic in me back then that I have never let go of in music and in comedy, and that work ethic is – got me forward. So yeah, it was kind of traumatic when you guys did that, but you fired me up. And when I got back into comedy, I used that work ethic, because I started comedy in 89, and I had to stop in 92 when my mom passed away. But I didn't have the work ethic that I had when I restarted in 97, and boy oh boy, comedy changed radically when I got back in, and I had to punch and claw and punch to get rolling again. But I did it because of that work ethic. So, yeah, what Joe told me, I'm like, don't even, it was the best thing for me.
Well, we hope Fragile Sky can get it together, and hopefully we'll be able to make their dates. This is going long. I could tell you guys about the cardiologist, or we could just squash it.
I want to hear about the cardiologist.
I do, too.
All right, well, then don't fucking blame me when we're here till 10 o'clock tonight.
I could care less. I want to see how it goes.
Me, too. All right, so when I went to the cardiologist in the hospital, he recommended I get a CTA, which is basically a CAT scan of the heart. So I decided he would be my cardiologist, so I made an appointment with him. I go to the office, and they've implemented new software that apparently nobody knows how to use. Nobody knows how to use this software. So everything they have to enter takes 15 minutes. And they've done away with pen and paper. You can't do that. But they have people from the software company wearing cute little mesh shirts, so you know that they're not there all the time. You know, like kind of like crossing guards, you know, where they put like the orange.
Oh, I got right.
And I think they were some of them had an African accent. Not that that means anything. But so they were there supposed to help them, guide them through this medical software. They don't know how to use the software either. I mean... Because it's so specialized, so it takes forever. And it's just like, really? Okay, fine. So finally, I go into the cardiologist. He vaguely remembers me. That's fine. Dude, it was 3 weeks ago. I get it. So then so I'm there. He goes, okay, well, we're going to send you for a CTA. But that's what you told me at the hospital. I thought we were doing the CTA here. I thought we were doing that. No, No. So I just got to pay a stupid copay just for him to tell me what he told me 3 weeks ago. All right. Fine. Fine. So they need.
I hate that when they have you there and you're like, why the hell am I here? We already talked about this.
Yeah.
So we're doing the thing now. Not
well, let me tell you something. I had my stress test, and then I had to go up for the follow-up, and I go in the office, and the woman starts putting the sensors on me. I go, what are we doing? We want to test your we're going to do a test on all your EKG and all. I go, I just did that Monday. It was Thursday. I go, I just did that Monday. I'm there for the follow-up. Oh, okay. And I go, I got to watch my bill because they're going to charge me for this. And sure enough, they did, and I had to petition it. I didn't need this. So you got to watch him like a fucking hawk.
I guess the difference was he wasn't my cardiologist, so he couldn't order it. Fine. Whatever. So then you got to leave, and, you know, that's a federal. And the doctor doesn't know how to use the software, and the people at the front don't know how to use the software. So I'm going to a Good Samaritan in Rockland County, New York. That's where it is. It's the next county over. Call them up for the appointment. You got to stay on hold for 45 minutes. Oh, okay. We don't have it. What do you mean you don't have it? Well, we'll call the hospital. There's new software. We'll call the hospital. We'll either call you later today or tomorrow. They don't call. I call the Good Samaritan again. Go, yeah. It seems like it was entered in wrong by the doctor. We'll call over and we'll call you back. They don't call back. So now I got to call the doctor's office, and this is going on for several days. And I'm like, listen, I need the doctor to change how we put it in because he needs to put it in so it needs to be done. I guess he clicked the wrong box on the new software. Can you have somebody call me back when it's done? Yes, we'll have somebody call you back. It's Tuesday night. I still have not had a call back. So this thing that I had last week, I still have. I'm not on the schedule. I have another appointment with him July 20th, but I am still not on the schedule to get this. What happens if this is an emergency? How are you functioning?
Yeah, I would go to the office. Did you talk to them on the phone or you personally go back to the office?
I've called them on the phone. I mean, I could go back to the office.
I would go back because there's a couple of times with my own doctors that it's nonsense, and I would have to go into the doctor's office. Go, all right, look, and I'm there, you know, we need to do this and this, because sometimes on the phone they give you the runaround or the.
That's not a bad idea, but after seeing the level of incompetence in the office, I don't know if it's any better. It's like, how do you not? My wife brought this up because she deals with software. How do you not? You should be running both at the same time, the old and the new. And I brought that up to them, and they said, we can't. Well, if you can't handle the new software, you can't go live with it. It needs to be run on a dime. You can't be screwed up. Listen, I'm fine. I'm going to be okay, I think. But, I mean, you have some – it's a cardiologist. There's people with some real problems there.
Yeah. I tell my brother with the cable bill he's been fighting with for the past 6 months – I go, you gotta go. I go, you got. People are stupid. People are morons. And sometimes, and you have the percent. Well, these people know what they do. No, a lot of people don't know what the hell they're doing. And sometimes you have to go there and be a presence. You know, not cause a scene, but be a presence and work everything out with a live person if you can.
Yeah.
And like I said, the doctor's office is no different. I had a woman when I had my procedure done, my stress test. The woman there is. I go to schedule it, and she goes, "Well, we'll have the physical stress test on this date, and then we could have when the internal test. We could do both in one day." That's not possible, sir, ma'am. I did it 2 years ago. You got to stress. And meanwhile, she also screwed up what doctor I went to see, and I didn't realize it until I got home. And it was a federal case reconciling bills. Also, you've got to watch them like a whore. Davin, and I tell this all the time, well, you shouldn't have to. Yeah, well, that's tough shit. You have to. You got to watch everybody like a fucking hawk. You're going to have to go down there, and you're going to have to go. I don't give a shit if you have to roar it on loose sleep. I want this done. I need to get this done. I don't want to wait. I don't want to be on hold. I don't give a shit about your computer system. I want this done now, today, while I'm here.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. I guess I'm going to have to do that. I mean,
you're going to have to.
I don't know what they're gonna be like. Well, we can't do it. He has to do it. I'm like, well, make him do it right now. I want to see the change. It's ridiculous.
And that's what you have to do. That's what you have to do. Well, he's busy right now. All right, you know what? I'll wait. I'm gonna sit right here, and you know, I'll have. Well, you know, and you know what? If you're sitting there, they'll find a way to get in. And you're gonna have, you know, you're gonna have to strong arm. That's the way it is. These medical companies are cutting back on the personnel that they have. The personnel that they have are stupid. And you know, sometimes you got to make a pass. Don't cause a scene, but just be a presence.
I just don't know how you can go live with a system-wide new software and nobody knows how to use it, including the people who gave you the software.
That's incredibly poor. That's so pathetic.
So it's a week. So tomorrow will be a week. All right. Maybe I'll drive down there because he should be in tomorrow. Maybe I'll go back down there and go, listen, I haven't got a call back. I'm not leaving. Get this done. Switch it. Let's go. It's not that hard.
You gotta run down there, and you don't care about the computer system. You don't care about this. I want this fixed, and I want it done now.
You know what I might tell him? I might tell him, hey, listen, get the doctor in front of me. Have the doctor call them and make the appointment. Let's go.
Well, you're like this when you're dealing with a cable company, or you're dealing with an airline, or whoever you're dealing with. You're like this, and you also tell people to advocate for themselves, and you're very strong about it. And the thing is, sometimes you have to say, what would I tell me to do in this position? Like if Joe or I were telling the story, you'd say, you know what you got to do? Just like Joe's
telling. Well, it's getting pretty close where I might just go, I might need to find another cardiologist.
Yeah,
the only problem with that, right. But the only problem with that is that it's tough to get a specialist nowadays. And you've got to you wait for a while. I mean, like my endocrinologist, she's having her own medical issues, and I'm seeing the nurse practitioner in July. She's good, but she's not the doctor, you know? And I won't be able to see my endocrinologist December. They got me scheduled for December, you know. But I'm seeing the practitioner a couple. I'm actually going to the I'm going back to the nutritionist tomorrow because I want to get to the bottom of some stuff. But still, it's dealing with these entities, and you've got these kids that work at the front desk.
These are not kids I'm dealing with. These are grown ass women.
All right. Well. Then you got to go down there and you got to make a presence, and I want, you know, you tell him I want this result. Well, and make sure, you know, the doctor's in. Well, I want, can he do something? You know, and believe me, he has to take a couple of minutes between patients. He can go see this. Why? Just to get you the hell out of the waiting room, you know? Like I say, I'll make a scene, but you know, look, I want this done. I want this done now. I'm concerned about my health. I don't feel that well, but, you know, trump it up. Throw a little horse shit on there, you know, to get him going.
All right. Let's take our first delayed break. Very delayed break. When we come back, what will we talk? Talk about a rainbow song, Rainbow Land Band, Rand. But probably not for why you think. A scamming psychic, fake psychic, not a real psychic. The military wants to spy on us, and the submersible sub. All sorts of good stuff. When we come back on the break, we got new music from Tanoki. Featuring Lux Alma with Broken. And you can learn more about them at fluttertone.com. Also, Ritmo Brothers with Let's Get Loud, probably a song you'll recognize, but a little bit of Spanglish.